We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. You know, I hate environmental packaging. I mean, I can't stand it, especially when it comes to water bottles. You ever drink out of Arrowhead water bottles?
Yes.
A few years ago, they changed the plastic, and it's really, really thin plastic. And I don't know, this is more environmentally sensitive. It used to be hard plastic, right? So when you grabbed it, you got a good grip on it and you could drink it easily. Then they thinned out the plastic. So when I grab it, unscrew the cap, and I squeeze it just slightly to take a drink, it shoots into my face, all over my clothes.
Oh, no.
Because it takes the slightest bit of pressure to shoot the water out. Whereas the hard plastic used to not do that. Secondly is the cap never fits right. So I put the cap on. I've got some water left. I put it in my work bag, right? Which has got a lot of paper in it. Like a whole.
I know where this is going.
A whole bunch of. Well, this happens like every week now. I never put it on right, or it can't be put on right, and it floods my bag.
You know what? Can I tell you? I have that exact problem, and I have a bag where I keep my headphones. So yeah. I just had to buy a new pair.
Yeah.
Because it, same thing, it didn't screw on correctly and it was a flood in my bag.
And it's always the water bottle.
Yep.
Yeah, and it, specifically the Arrowhead water bottles. And I know they have, I think their headquarters here in Southern California. And they put all these incomprehensible symbols on the bottle to try to show off. Who are they showing off to? Are these government mandated or activist group pressure or some wacko environmental guru is on the board? Because they got one symbol that says, made better, helping to conserve springs. Well, I don't understand that. They're bottling water. So how do you conserve the water in a spring if you're bottling the water? I mean, and then it's got another weird set of arrows with directions on how to use the bottle. Empty and replace cap. Thanks.
Okay. That's helpful.
Is that a violation if I empty it and I don't replace the cap? Does that affect the way it degrades in the landfill? Then it informs me that it's a plastic bottle.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah, they have a special sign there. And I, what does that conform to? Is that some legal requirement? And again, the plastic is so thin and it's just a complete fail for me. But they're all like that now. All the bottles are like that.
And are you sure you're putting the cap on correctly? Because no. I don't think I did a couple of times. And mine is not Arrowhead.
Well, the cap is a lot thinner. So it's, I think the old cap, it was bigger and thicker and a couple of twists and mm-hmm. would work.
I know you have a hard time with those motor skills. I know.
My small. I'm small motor disabled practically is what it is. You know who we're going to have on at 1:30? Because I read his column. He's on the San Diego Union Tribune editorial board. His name is Chris Reed. And he wrote, this is not a funny subject, but I'm amused by odd things. It's about all the wasted money, California high-speed rail. And back when this went on the ballot in 2008, the government, Schwarzenegger's government, and all the backers of this stupid boondoggle knew that this thing was going to be a failure and knew they were never going to have enough money. They knew it was in black and white in writing in a special report, and they never disclosed the report to the public as the sheep dutifully went on election day to vote to approve this massive fraud. Anyway, he wrote a column detailing the history of that so you can know where the original sin is from. And then also we're going to have Todd Spitzer on next hour because in Orange County, they a successful crackdown on a home burglary ring tied to 34 break-ins. They arrested 20 people. And what do you know? Tied to L.A. gangs. Pretty shocking, huh? I mean, you see these videos, the smash and grabs at the stores. They don't look like gang members to me. I'm kind of surprised. Yeah, they really are gang members. And then later on in the show, we're going to have Jim Desmond on, San Diego County Supervisor, because the Joe Biden administration is separating families at the border in San Diego. Over 1,000 families separated, huh? Don't see any outrage over that, but maybe we can start some. We've also got two rounds of the Moist Line and two hacks in the dumpster to end the year. Unrelated hacks, but, we're in our final days of 2023, so we had to clear the shelf. And we've got two guys that are going to get tossed coming up. Now, when we come back, two stories related to the vagrants. First one is there is a new set of statistics out that's going to, I think Channel 5 used the term staggering. They have an official United States homeless count, highest level ever. California numbers staggering. We have a huge percentage of the homeless in this country. And we'll tell you exactly how. And we really have a ratio to population, the highest by far in the nation. And also how the affordable housing program that we have in Los Angeles is actually tearing down other housing. You read this thing and I can't figure out what the upside is. So in order to create affordable housing, they have to destroy affordable housing. Only in Los Angeles, and this is supposed to end homelessness. So all that is ahead on the John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
So this story came from the federal government, and they have counted all the vagrants in America, and the U.S. had a 12% increase in homelessness. And they're blaming it on soaring rents and a decline in coronavirus pandemic assistance. Can you believe this? First of all, the rents in a lot of places were frozen, a lot of cities, and you didn't have to pay rent in a lot of cities. It's interesting that it was soaring. Because that wasn't the state of things during the pandemic. And then coronavirus pandemic assistance. That was a one-time deal. It went on way too long, which is what led to inflation, because Trump and then Biden blew out billions and billions and billions of dollars, and it was all about the pandemic. They had different names for different bills that they passed, but it was all the same thing. They overjuiced the economy, and that's why everything you buy in a grocery store costs 20 or 25% more than it did 3 years ago. So the claim here is that the lack of the government writing out checks, pandemic checks, that creates inflation, puts housing out of reach for more Americans. This is according to the Associated Press. This is allegedly their reasoning or the federal government's reasoning, that we need the federal government to continue printing money, sending unneeded checks to people, driving up inflation, or rents are going to go up. Boy, none of that sounds right, does it? That sounds nuts. So in January, on whatever day or days they did the count, 653,000 people were squatting in the streets somewhere. I am not going to use that phrase, experiencing homelessness. I will not do that. I'm not using their stupid euphemisms. Let the sheep and all the news departments use that. A bonus ding. Now, the breakdown for California. Channel 5 calls it staggering. 71,000 people in Los Angeles County. 71,320. Minus the ones that died of fentanyl overdoses, I suppose, since then. New York City numerically had more at 88,025. But I think we have a higher ratio. And the rest of the cities and metropolitan areas in America just have far fewer in numbers. 14,000 in Seattle and King County, 10,000 San Diego County, Denver, 10,000. I mean, we are it. We are the center of all vagrancy because it's obvious. We allow it. During the Garcetti years, there were no rules. You could lay out in the streets, commit all kinds of crimes, emit all the bodily fluids and all the things a body can produce out in the streets, inject yourself or snort any drug that made it over the border, and nobody was going to bother you. And now we ended up with a really overwhelming, ridiculous problem. And the answer to them is the answer by, you know, the Karen Bass crowd and everybody in the city council is we've got to build more affordable housing. Yes, we do. More affordable housing. It's the drugs. It's the mental illness. It's the lack of police enforcement. That is discussed very little, if at all. And most cities in America don't tolerate this nonsense in the streets. And you don't find them on this list. They don't make the list. It doesn't really exist for all practical purposes. Most cities don't have this. We do because of this bizarre, progressive philosophy that says anything goes in the streets. These people are noble. Now, as far as affordable housing, we know that whole concept is a bust. I mean, even Karen Bass admits they only permanently housed 261 people this year, 261 out of the 45,000 in LA City. So I don't know how many years would that take. That would take, what, 160 years? Assuming there wasn't a single new homeless person coming off the train or the bus, at the rate she's talking, it would take, what, about 160 years. The El Segundo Times had a story, and this makes no sense, except it makes perfect sense when it comes to Los Angeles. They are destroying a lot of housing in order to build affordable housing. They're destroying some low-income affordable housing. They talk to Blanca Ruiz. She lives on Figueroa Street in South L.A. She's got her husband, a son, four dogs, two tropical birds. And then she was notified by the city that her home is going to get demolished so that other people who are struggling can live there. They're going to give her $25,000 to relocate only because she's 75 years old and low income. But the rents are so high, she doesn't think she's going to be able to find a place that they can afford. Everything she looks at, too expensive or don't allow dogs. I don't sleep at night. I stay up thinking, what am I going to do? Where do I go? And there's apparently dozens and dozens of residents who have to relocate because Karen Bass is evicting them. She wrote something called the Executive Directive Number 1, and it's to speed up construction of affordable housing. So Ruiz's apartment, along with two others, is going to be replaced by a 157-unit affordable housing project to combat homelessness, as if all those people in the street can be trusted with a brand-new apartment. We've seen them destroy apartments by the hundreds, thousands in the last few years. We are now going to build the homeless new apartments for them to destroy. You know, they're going to put in all these drug-addicted hoarders, and somebody like Blanca Ruiz, who's been living peacefully and paying her bills, she's getting kicked out. They want to make this emergency order permanent, so there'd be no more public hearings and no more reviews. Because, as you know, it takes many, many years to build anything in Los Angeles. But the current tenants in these neighborhoods are getting screwed over. And they have 9,000 units they've been proposed to be affordable. But they're going to have to demolish hundreds of rent-stabilized units. Then they're going to try to coax the vagrants off the street. The vagrants will go inside these new apartments and ruin them. And hopefully by then, Blanca Ruiz will find a new place to live. Now, the alternative is to for the vagrants to assume responsibility and go out and get jobs. There's plenty of them available. Earn money so they can afford their own apartment. But I don't know how they're going to live in affordable housing if they don't want to go to work and earn a paycheck. If they would rather snort meth and inject heroin and fentanyl, but you never hear that discussed publicly, do you? Just here. And we're supposed to be mean for doing so. Chris Reed is coming up right after Deborah's news on why the bullet train project flopped. They knew in 2008, before we voted on this, that it was going to flop. It was guaranteed. And there's one specific reason. And Chris Reed is one of the editorial writers for the San Diego Union-Tribune. And he wrote a piece on this just to remind everybody that this was poison from the start.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to have Todd Spitzer on, the DA of Orange County, an actual district attorney that prosecutes people. He is a curiosity. They charged 20 people for a burglary ring, 34 break-ins across Orange County, $500,000 worth of cash, valuables, and weapons stolen. And shockingly, they were tied to a Los Angeles gang. Wow. I didn't think gang members do that. They do bad things like that? Right. So they ran into Orange County, pillaging and thieving. We'll get to Todd coming up after 2 o'clock and explore this shocking concept of prosecuting criminals. It's a fascinating idea. We are now going to talk to Chris Reed. Chris Reed is one of the editorial writers for the San Diego Union Tribune, and he had a column that contained something that most people probably don't know, that when the high-speed rail bond went on the ballot in 2008 and a majority of you voted for it, they never told you that they knew they were never going to get the financing for this thing and that the whole plan was going to flop. Remember, they claimed that $33 billion would build high-speed rail from Sacramento to San Francisco, to Los Angeles, to Anaheim, all the way to San Diego for $33 billion. And it would be done by now. And, of course, nothing's done. They're way short of money. They've lopped off Anaheim, San Diego, Sacramento, and apparently Los Angeles. Right now, it looks like it's Merced to Bakersfield at best. So let's get Chris Reed on and find out what they knew way back 15 years ago now. Chris, how are you?
Great. Good to be back, John. Yeah, the story starts in the spring of 2008 when Arnold and a bunch of Democrats in the legislature got all excited about the high-speed rail project. And so they thought that, okay, what's a good way to win public support for this? We'll have the Rail Authority's business team put out a plan by October 1st explaining just how the finances would work. And at the time, it didn't seem like this was any big deal. Bullet trains were working well in Europe. And so people were skeptical about the state's ability to pull off any big project. But the fact that bullet trains drew private investors in Europe made it seem like it was plausible it could happen in California. But about the middle of September, there began to be rumbles that they couldn't finish the analysis in time by October 1st because of the furloughs. Remember back then?
Oh yeah,
the furloughs during. So anyway, they knew, however, according to what was later disclosed, that private investors wanted nothing to do with a project in which there's no case that taxpayers could provide subsidies if revenues were not enough to cover expenses. And that's like the one saving grace of Proposition 1A in 2008, was that it contained a specific provision that says you cannot have taxpayers provide operating subsidies to the project. And so they knew that they weren't going to get the private investment that was supposed to be key to completing the project, and they didn't tell anybody until literally the Monday after the election. They released the report. Their staffing needs had somehow disappeared, and then the Monday after the election, 6 days later, they put out a report saying it's going to be tough to get any investment without subsidies, and oh, subsidies are illegal.
Why would the private investors not invest without public tax money?
Well, because bullet trains around the world, and this is one of the great facts that nobody seems to realize, they are almost always subsidized. They almost never pay for themselves. It's just a really costly thing to pull off, having high-speed rail. In California, it's quadruply exacerbated by the fact that they wanted to build through really densely populated areas, which was never going to happen. That California has all these wild environmental rules that make it close to impossible to pull off a big project, a small project, a medium-sized project, any project in which people can say their interests are affected.
You know, if I could just interrupt you a second, because these political leaders and these bureaucrats always talk about the wonders of high-speed rail in Europe and in China and Japan and how they all do it and it's affordable for the public. They never talk about how different California is and all those things you just touched on. Well, for example, they'd have to drill through the Tehachapi Mountains.
Yeah, there was an amazing story in 2013 that says they need drills as long as a football field, a 100-yard-long drill to do this. I wonder how many billions it would cost just to develop such a drill.
There is no such thing.
No, they'd have to invent it. They had to have whole new technology. There was a 2000 article in the LA Times in which they quoted experts from Caltech saying, like, this is going to be kind of, you know, close to impossible. And so that's what makes it all the incredible, more incredible that we just keep hearing over the years that, oh, this project would have worked if it wasn't mired by politics, if there weren't all these dubious compromises made. It's a crock.
That's what's stunning and really angering is they never discussed how it was going to be nearly impossible to get through the Tehachapi Mountains, the San Gabriel Mountains, all these densely populated areas, that it was enormously difficult and maybe impossible to do, extremely costly. There was going to be no private investing coming because we weren't putting up any public tax money. They knew all this in advance. They do it anyway. Who's benefiting from blowing these tens of billions of dollars over the last 15 years? Who did they want to please by trying to do this half-assed 119-mile train?
Well, the only people who clearly benefit from it are the, you know, building construction unions and the contractors who were hired to do this project out in the middle of nowhere. And that's another thing that's absolutely mind-boggling about this is I have directly asked Governor Newsom, just like I directly asked Jerry Brown and Schwarzenegger before them, like, is this project worth doing if it doesn't connect population centers? And nobody will ever acknowledge that, because answering that question requires the acknowledgement that no, it's never going to connect the two big population centers. Many years ago, I talked to a state senator from San Jose, whose name I won't reveal because it was off the record, and he said the idea that they were going to build a bullet train between San Jose and San Francisco through the richest county in America was absurd on its face. And that's why it was honestly not really even taken seriously by, like, mayors in Atherton and Los Gatos. They knew it was never going to happen. And the same thing holds from Sylmar to downtown Los Angeles. Now, that's not nearly as rich as Silicon Valley, but it's densely populated. And one of the more interesting studies I read about the bullet trains in urban areas was they cut through an urban area and they're like a fence. They segregate communities by making it so difficult to get from one side to the other. So we were really going to build a bullet train from Sylmar to downtown Los Angeles and create this partition in the middle of the valley? Yeah, sure.
No, because they bitch and moan over the idea that freeways have divided communities and separated communities. And
it's a lot easier to build a bridge over or under a freeway than a bullet train that's already super environmentally sensitive. And also, it's dangerous to undermine its base, according to what we were told 10 years ago.
So many politicians, bureaucrats, leaders, they all knew this was bogus. They knew this was a scam before day one, before we even voted, and they all went along with it anyway.
Well, it's not clear it's not crystal clear that Arnold knew about this beforehand, but he was in Legacy Watch at that point, and I don't think even if he knew, he would have changed anything. But it is clear that this was known within the Bullet Train Agency, the California High Speed Rail Authority, that this was not going to work. And the excuse is, well, we had staffing problems because of those darn furloughs. But come on, this was not like a controversial conclusion. Of course they're going to want subsidies because they've got subsidies everywhere around the world where they have built these projects. Of course it's going to be incredibly difficult to build something in a place in California where environmentalists are so strong and land is so expensive and you know, people are so powerful. Rich people are powerful, and they don't like having their homes messed with.
So for 15 years, everybody in this construction industry and in the consulting industry, all the other parasites that have attached themselves to this bullet train, they all get up every day knowing that this is ultimately a waste of time, that they're going to be, at best, if everything goes right, maybe decades down the road, you're going to get a train taking five people up from Bakersfield to Merced every day.
Well, and the thing is that in January 2019, I don't know if you remember this hilarious early Newsom escapade, he gave a press conference in which he said, we need to be honest and realistic about the future of the bullet train. And so AP and others immediately wrote a story saying the new governor of California raises questions about the viability of the bullet train. And Newsom walked it back within an hour and a half.
Well, he got
called him. She said right away, no, that's not what I said. I just said we had to take a hard look at it. Yeah. Not meaning that we had to take a hard look and stop this fiasco.
No, did he get a bad phone call from a union leader?
I don't know. I have no idea because I don't understand the upside of this at this point. Everybody now knows that it's a fiasco. You know, everyone who's sentient knows it's a fiasco. So why continue with it? That's the thing that I don't get. But, you know, John, you're right about the dishonesty of everyone involved who benefits from this and their failure to be honest about it. But I got to say, where's the media on this? I swapped an email. The 15th anniversary of when the business plan was supposed to be released was October 1st. And I wrote about it back then, and it was like the 15th anniversary of the deceit that launched this debacle. And I swapped emails with Dan Walters because he and I appear to be the only people in the California media who ever bring this angle up. And this is not like a small angle. This is a crucial angle.
Yeah, this cost us tens of billions of dollars. Yeah, I know. Well, it's not really a news industry anymore. I don't know what to call it, but it's not a news industry.
They're
public relations agencies for the government, whoever's in power.
Well, I don't know. I just find the whole thing kind of juicy and strange, the whole question of why the media can't say this, because when the stuff comes up about the project linking Rancho Cucamonga across desert with Vegas, and the LA Times reported that people were much more optimistic about this because there won't be any dubious compromises and there won't be politics involved, I just felt like groaning because it's the same Los Angeles Times that had that incredible story about the difficulty of getting through the Tehachapi Mountains, about the need to build trains that are, you know, a football field long or drills that
drills,
are a football
yeah,
field
that's
long
crazy.
To the mountains.
All right, Chris, got to go. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks.
All right, Chris Reed from the San Diego Union-Tribune. It's the John Cobalt Show, KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, the Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer, they charged 20 people, 34 break-ins across the county, all tied to Los Angeles gangs, all kinds of burglaries and thefts and $500,000 in cash and weapons and valuables. And look at that. Look what, and these people are going to go to jail in Orange County. You may have heard it happen just in the last half hour. Rudy Giuliani. Oh my God, did he get whacked? There was a civil trial. Two Atlanta election workers charged him with defamation, and he lost. It was ordered by a federal jury to pay $148 million to two election workers. Oh, my goodness. He was ordered, the two women involved, let me get their names here, Shay Moss and her mother, Ruby Freeman. And this federal jury awarded $75 million in punitive damages. and $20 million to each woman for emotional distress. That's 95. And then they were also awarded. Mossel got $17 million for defamation. Freeman received $16.2 million. Now, how do you determine that? Why would one woman be defamed $800,000 less than the other woman?
Does he even have that kind of money?
No. He's near broke. He's blown all his money. The last I heard, he was selling his $6 million condo in New York City. And I think he used to be very wealthy because after he was done as mayor, he went into private security. You know, he lived off the fame of his performance during 9/11. And he had a security company and he had high-end clients all over the world. And he's blown a lot of it in legal fees. He certainly doesn't have $148 million. Although I imagine there'll be appeals and maybe the award gets knocked out. But what he did, and this is all in service of Donald Trump, he mentioned them by name, accusing them of pulling fraudulent ballots out of suitcases and then adding them to the totals as they were counting at State Farm Arena in Atlanta. So he said specifically these two women had extra ballots in suitcases. And it was to screw Donald Trump out of the election in Georgia. They started getting death threats from all the lunatics out there. And they had to flee their home for 2 months. And these were Trump supporters who drove them out of their home. And of course, Trump, in turn, Giuliani was begging him to do some kind of fundraisers or to give him some money so he could defend himself in court. And Trump did a couple of fundraisers, but in general, just left him, just hung him out to dry. So Giuliani is now left with, he did a stupid thing. And the thing is, he was a brilliant attorney. He was a U.S. attorney in New York. He busted up the mafia back in the 1980s. He busted up a lot of Wall Street crooks in the 90s. He went after criminal politicians. I mean, he took care of everybody.
And then 9/11.
9/11.
He was a great mayor.
Fantastic mayor of New York City. Best mayor I ever saw in my life. Totally turned, because the city was the way LA is now. Ridden with homeless people, criminals, all sorts of creeps on the streets, massive prostitution. Went back a couple of years after I moved out of there, and it turned into Disneyland. I was shocked, absolutely shocked. I'd never seen anything like it. And then he's lost his mind. He's drunk much of the time now. He has a radio show in New York late at night that he does out of his house.
And is he doing it drunk?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he just rambles on. I read some articles on it, and he's loaded most of the time now, and he's going to be broke if he isn't broke already. I don't know. I think he's suffered from some kind of dementia and alcoholism, the combination. When we come back, we're going to talk to Todd Spitzer, Orange County District Attorney, and 20 people have been charged, 34 break-ins, $500,000 in prizes that they stole related to L.A. gangs, and Todd Spitzer is going to prosecute these people. This is like the opposite of George Gascon. Deborah Mark has the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.